From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his fifth message in a series dealing with Romans chapter 8. In verses 7 and 8, the Apostle Paul declares the natural state of every person born into this world. Because everyone is descended from Adam, everyone has inherited that sin nature. Not only is every person a sinner by birth, but each one deliberately chooses to sin because his or her heart is in rebellion against God. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, man's will is biased toward evil, so that everything he does is tainted by sin. The unsaved person hates God and his law. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message called Total Depravity. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, and verse 7. There is no spot in thee. Having pronounced his church positively full of beauty, our Lord confirms his praise by a precious negative. There is no spot in thee. As if the thought occurred to the bridegroom that the carping world would insinuate that he had only mentioned her comely parts and had purposely omitted those features which were deformed or defiled, he sums up all by declaring her universally and entirely fair and utterly devoid of stain. A spot may soon be removed, and is the very least thing that can disfigure beauty. But even from this little blemish, the believer is delivered in his Lord's sight. If he had said there is no hideous scar, no horrible deformity, no deadly ulcer, we might even then have marveled. But when he testifies that she is free from the slightest spot, all these other forms of defilement are included, and the depth of wonder is increased. If he had but promised to remove all spots by and by, we should have had eternal reason for joy. But when he speaks of it as already done, who can restrain the most intense emotions of satisfaction and delight? O my soul, here is marrow and fatness for thee. Eat thy full, and be satisfied with royal dainties. Christ Jesus has no quarrel with his spouse. She often wanders from him and grieves his Holy Spirit, but he does not allow her faults to affect his love. He sometimes chides, but it is always in the tenderest manner, with the kindest intentions. It is my love, even then. There is no remembrance of our follies. He does not cherish ill thoughts of us, but he pardons and loves as well after the offense as before it. It is well for us it is so. For if Jesus were as mindful of injuries as we are, how could he commune with us? Many a time a believer will put himself out of humor with the Lord for some slight turn in providence. But our precious husband knows our silly hearts too well to take offense at our ill manners.
Thank you.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
So when we talk about depravity, we're talking about something that resides chiefly and deeply in the will of man. Our portion in Romans 8 emphasizes this. They, sinners, mind the flesh. They mind the flesh. I, again, cannot back up and go through an exposition of that particular phrase again. You'll have to go back and get the CD of the former message to do that. But sum it up in the words of the Lord Jesus. Men love darkness. Oh, they're in darkness. They are darkness. But they love darkness rather than light. because their deeds are evil. The depravity of man, in other words, is not just something imposed upon him. It is something in which he is actively involved. Now that's with that in mind. Come to our text and see the terms that emphasize this deliberate depravity and activity. The carnal mind, the mind of the flesh, the unregenerate human nature is enmity against God. Enmity unto, toward, and therefore against God. Now the term that is here translated enmity carries in its cargo, as it were, two great ideas. One is the thought of hate, and the other is the thought of hostility. What does it mean by saying that the carnal mind is enmity? And notice it is not just at enmity. This is not a passing phase. This is an essential description of the state of man outside of grace. This is what men are, not just what men do. This is what men are. The carnal mind is enmity. It is hatred and hostility personified against God. Now those are strong words. But the Holy Ghost has deliberately employed a strong word here. As I said to you, the Bible takes man's sin seriously. And unless the Bible gets to a proper diagnosis of the human condition, then there is no remedy possible. Unless we get to the depths of what is wrong, there is no chance of putting it right. And so the Bible here gets right down to the depths of the human state. It is one of hatred and hostility against God. And this is the state of all men by nature. Romans chapter 5 says, and this is the testimony of Christians, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. We were enemies. Colossians chapter 1 verse 21 says, you were sometime alienated. At one time you were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. The words there have the force, they did not approve to have God in their knowledge. Now here's a description of enemies. And you'll notice this constant emphasis. Enemies in the mind. Ephesians 4:18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God which is through darkness or through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Here's an emphasis then upon the mind. Here's an emphasis upon the understanding. Here's an emphasis upon the heart or the will. This is the inward, complete moral constitution of man. And God is saying every man by nature is one full of hatred and hostility to God. I want you to see that. Now let that sink in. And that's as true of the church-going sinner as it is of the atheist. That may sound an extreme statement. It's not. That hatred and that hostility may manifest itself in different ways, in different people, at different times. But it's there all the time. The man who sits under the sound of God's word and pushes it away The man who knows the way of life but chooses death. The man who kicks over the traces of all that he's ever learned from the Word of God, the teaching of the gospel, is showing the very same antagonism to God as you'll find in the most blatant sinner. Now, I am not equating their lifestyle. Do not misunderstand me. I am not equating their lifestyle. But I am saying the basic problem is the problem of enmity against God. But then there's a second view of this depravity in the text, and it's rebellion. Notice what it says, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. It is not subject to God's law. The mind of man, the heart of man, rejects God's law. It rejects God's right to govern him. It rejects God's right to command him. It rejects the standard of righteousness that God sets. In every man there is this natural rebellion that says, I will be my own God, I will be my own standard, I will be my own captain, I will do my own thing. That's rebellion. What does the Lord say? In Hosea chapter 8, verse 12, he says, I have written unto him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. A thing to be despised, a thing to be rejected, a thing to be cast away as unworthy, unclean, and filthy. I have given him the holy law of God, and he has cast it away as an unclean thing, a strange thing. That is the rebellion that we're talking about. I trust that you'll stop there and let this word sink down into your ears. We see this again and again, not just, as I say, out there among the wild and wicked, people we take to be wild and wicked. Do you not see this? Have you Christian parents not run across this constantly? When you go to bring light and truth, Word of God, you don't need to teach your children to rebel against it. It's there. And unless grace intervenes, that rebellion hardens. There is a time when it may be easier because of their childhood years or their youth to impose from the outside, but while there's nothing corresponding by grace on the inside, the rebellion will rise and rise and rise, and either overtly or covertly, then it expresses itself against God's law. I'm not going to be subject to that. Maybe some of you young people are actually just saying that to your parents. You're not going to tell me what to do. You know, your problem's not with your mom. Your problem's not really with your dad. Your problem's not really with the church. Your problem's a heart problem with God. That's the real problem. With God. The fool saying in his heart, no God. That's the real problem. I've written to him the great things of my law. They were counted as a strange thing. You see how this works out? In Romans chapter 3, you've got this great description of the human heart. Start in verse 9. God is speaking about both Jew and Gentile. They are all under sin. Verse 9. Now verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is the picture. An awful picture. Paul wrote to the Ephesians about their unsaved days. He says, God hath made you alive. You hath he quickened. How were you before he quickened you? You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh or energizes in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. This is total rebellion. Here's the picture of man's heart. This is what the Bible means by total depravity. In a state of natural hatred and hostility to God. In a state of natural rebellion against God. Now, judging themselves by other people, men can quite easily acquit themselves and say, I'm okay. I'm not as other men are. I'm not a liar. I'm not a thief. I'm not a murderer. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm not the other thing. Judging themselves by others, they can tell themselves how good they are. But God is not judging us by others. God brings out his holy law and says, judge yourself by that.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.